Hello, Rainbow Souls. Welcome to the Cosmic Heart Conversation podcast, where you're joined with me, Georgie Dragonfly, and many divine loving souls that are expressing their true and authentic self in this now moment to bring to you information of their spiritual journey, light language, and their innate ability to commune with the divine and nature, and how this is all intertwined as one. In this moment, take a breath, connect all of our hearts together with this divine transmission. Urmaul I lalaya sham, ikiawa wesh nihiram mawayama, irawali anawake, iawakwane sham, ishanawa weyanaweshini, irawali anar eyanakur I lalam. Ilalia wash narum nariki, Iralia shau wayanana, Inanamawe awayeshanam, Ianaway awasu, Iruasawe awayeshini kiawasu, Aralianda orukumbari shiangwa, Ira eshi ishi anguay shikinawa, Iranana bakiawashanara, Tarayashanu. Hello and welcome to another Cosmic Heart Conversations podcast, where you're joined with me and James, who's going to introduce himself.
Yes, sure. So just in a very simplistic way, I've called myself a ascension guide, simply somebody who holds space for other people to discover their truth. And a recent journey that I'm on is about creating something called Gaia on Earth, where we bring the purity of nature to everybody through their homes, their gardens, and to provide them with everything they could possibly need. So that's me in a very brief nutshell.
Yeah, and this is why it's been so, you know, I've been so cool to reach out to you, because this is just a perfect conversation when we want to remember this spiritual journey is about remembering who we are and what we are on this beautiful planet and taking care of it as it is a part of us and we are one with it. So it's such a beautiful service that you are putting forward. So how did it all begin for you? Love to know where you got started.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. So would you like to know about sort of the beginning or the beginning of Gaia on Earth?
The beginning. Let's see where
okay.
Yeah.
So I guess for me, the real beginning of my journey started when I was a teenager. So I was bullied quite heavily by people. I was never really seen for who I felt that I was within. And that basically sparked this journey of going within and questioning. I think that's the same for most people. You know, people often question, why is this happening to me? A lot of people through religion, they will say, you know, why God? Why are you doing this? And one day, and I was literally outside this room in the hallway. Look, I was looking in the mirror and I said to myself, why not me? You know, what makes me any different? You know, why shouldn't it be happening to me? And it was that train of that process of questioning that led me down the path of taking responsibility. And as soon as I took responsibility, then I went on this whole path of realizing that if I can do it, then other people can do it. And then that led me down the path of trying to help people to find their own truth, not based upon my ideas, but based upon their own. So going in, asking the right questions and guiding people to question the things that might be suppressing them or limiting them, beliefs, thoughts, ideas, people even, because I think that's pretty strong with a lot of people. You know, they're limited by people through life, and then that's where the journey really started to move forward, and then that's obviously connected and linked into everything that I'm doing now.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah, because it's quite I would say you're one of like the more younger people that are really stepping forward, and it's quite amazing that you have a lot of confidence with that as well. Did you find that you had to overcome anything to really feel, you know, connected to what you're doing, and really understanding your truth with it as well.
Definitely, and it's interesting, and just kind of for reference, people, I've just turned 27. And that's one of the things that was mentioned quite a bit. But and it's always amazing because there are a lot of people who are kind of, you know, even younger than me or just a little bit older. And it's kind of that was a lot something that opened up for me, that age is a completely irrelevant number, because it's all about perspective and perception. For me, it was really, it's funny because I was having this conversation the other day, and the thing that really helped me through was anger. And here's another interesting thing, you know, so I'm a completely different human being now than I was. And I was never physically aggressive. I always say that to people because that's not the kind of person I am. But I was a very angry teenager, and that allowed me to deflect all of the, and I also did the abuse that was coming my way, you know, and the attacks and the bullying and the ridicule and the questioning, you know, it allowed me to stand in my own power. And whereas with a lot of people, they may have had saying, oh, well, what about this? And it might send them on a journey of questioning themselves and then ultimately moving away from their own truth. I was fortunate enough to have this fire within where I said, no, I know myself. I know who I am. I know what my worth, I know what I'm here to do. And I know that this is what fulfills me. And so that helped me to carry on the journey. And so I guess, like, even when I've worked with people over the years, that's played a massive part, because it's been, instead of me trying to tell people, you know, this is the truth and this is how it is and this is what it is, all I've said is, what resonates with you, right? I'm going to present something to you, but that's not a truth until you decide it is. So how do you feel? How does it make you feel within? Does it make you feel good? Does it make you feel empowered? You know, do you feel like you now need nobody and yet you can invite everybody into your life? And if so, maybe it's a truth, you know. And it's always been about trying to show people that their power is unlimited, you know, that even, I guess, power, might, people might be concerned about that. I'll change it to their, you know, people's energy, their consciousness, who they are, their soul. It's unlimited, you know, and it has no boundaries. And so many people, they define themselves either with a label or an idea or a belief. And so it then starts to limit the pure expansiveness of who they are into such a small idea, but they're not. And so to kind of round that off, yeah, the, you know, the fire helped me to keep expanded. So nobody tried to push me into a box.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's great, because it's similar. It's only really, you know, these last couple of years that I've really gone, okay, I've got the wisdom. It's got to just come through, because I'm doing a disservice to others if I just play small and wait for the time where it looks, where my face has maybe aged a little bit and I look more appropriately, you know, in the role of sharing wisdom and spiritual practices. You know, it's breaking that construct. I feel that that's what's really happening at this time, is that we are breaking those old constructs and you know, it is attainable for everybody. So yeah, really, really profound that you're able to carry that through and share what you do share.
Yeah. And it's quite powerful as well, because you see it go, in my opinion, in my thoughts, it always stems back to childhood. Because not in a sense that we have to go back and heal the inner child as such, I'm not saying we don't, but it stems back to this potential understanding that when you go back to your childhood, how many of us were treated as, in quotes, gods, right? How many of us were treated with such reverence and such knowing that we had an innate wisdom, right? Often when people see a small baby or a child, they're, you know, doing gurgling noises and bubbling noises and, you know, all the cooing noises, they're not, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not here to offend anybody who might just have a newborn's doing that. But what I'd like to present to people is the idea that perhaps your child or the children of this earth, they're much more intelligent than we give them credit for. And it's not to say that we won't hold a space of love for them to, of course, learn through our influence, potentially, maybe not always definitely. But it's about understanding that all children are designed to be perfect in themselves. And if we, you know, put them out into nature, interesting connection that might come up that we may chat about, if we allow children more to move into nature and to see the perfection, instead of a block of wood with a little like letter or number on it, if you go out and show them an insect that is literally alive and it is perfect in its design because it's, you know, off doing its own thing and it's here to serve humanity, you can show them a different world altogether. You know, that, you know, this is alive and it's here for you. Not to say that we manipulate or control it, but it's here to serve you, as we will then present our love and light to nature and to the natural kingdom. So that's been what a really profound thing that I've been exploring at the minute. If it's all right, I'd like to also just share a little 30-second story from that. My partner's one of her sisters, she brought a little baby around, and I was really, after reading the Anastasia books, I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're really amazing books. After reading them, I watched the little baby and I was really just focusing and just realizing, you know, what are they really doing? What are they thinking? And as I was noticing that she was getting her hand and hitting her hand here, but constantly. And I was like, and I was trying to see, like, maybe there's a reason why she's tapping her hand, right? Like EFT or, you know, acupuncture. And her sister was saying that she was in a bit of pain because her teeth were coming through. And I was like, I wonder if she's doing that to try and stop the pain. And, you know, people are kind of like, you know, going, oh, clappy hands. And I was like, maybe it's not just about clapping. Maybe it's something deeper there. So just an interesting synchronicity or link with the wisdom of children.
Exactly. And if you notice as well that, like, kids just naturally stretch and move their bodies and, you know, because I used to practice, do yoga with children, and, you know, they would kind of naturally do it, really. You know, it was such, you know, you could say, like, oh, it's like downward dog, but really they're just getting into that because that's kind of what kids do. And I suppose we kind of fall out of that when we, you know, sit in chairs for long periods of time. Same with sound. I mean, I'm a big one for sound with light language, and I think that children have that. And I often say the inner child is just the innate being, and we often are led to believe it's this inner child. We need to reclaim the child because that's where we lost our innate being. We weren't, you know, that's where we was most in contact with that part of ourselves. And then maybe a little bit more rigid as time goes on. And then we're like, oh, where is that? What was that? And I must go back. And often we can, through playing, being in nature and expressing. And I suppose that's what you're also helping people to do now when you're showing them how to reconnect with nature.
Massively. And you know, it's interesting because I had a session a couple of weeks back, and one of the things this individual said, they said, oh, I have too many passions. And all I did was I said, do you? And it's so fascinating because obviously, you know, people have said, oh, you know, you're doing too much, you know, focus on one thing or do one thing. I'm like, nobody on this planet can say to you to suppress your passions because that's the expression of your soul, you know. And for somebody to say focus on one thing, that's like saying try to ignore the aspects of your own truth. And so that kind of opened up a doorway for this to realize, well, maybe I don't have too many passions, you know. And so again, like what you beautifully mentioned about you know, reclaiming or coming back to our innate being, right? Our innate being is one without fear, without conditions, without, you know, the idea of having to do this or having to do, it's always these haves and shoulds and musts that tend to suppress the soul, you know. And if we return back to that truth, it really can be so freeing. You know, and I guess, yeah, as you mentioned, also connecting that with nature. I mean, when you go out in nature or create a garden for yourself, or, you know, this space of love, I like to, because it's not just about creating a garden, it's about creating a space of love. When you do that, that is the Garden of Eden. Like, that is paradise, and it's here. And people can have that little bit of their own Garden of Eden, you know, wherever they are. It just, you know, that's what we're looking to do now, is helping people to build that and create it.
Wow, that's amazing passion. And so how would you say that did you always feel connected to nature yourself? Or is this something that you've kind of, has this evolved? Would it say that your spiritual practice has helped that?
Definitely. And I would be honest and say that no, I wasn't always. I was a kid. I used to play out in nature, and it used to be, you know, a place that I really loved, but I never truly saw it. You know, and I guess this is the beauty for all people. It's not about having this instantaneous knowing from birth that nature is the truth. It's always about just letting things unfold. You know, for me, I was very much a gamer, you know, and I probably spent an unhealthy amount of time playing video games, you know, so I didn't go out in nature as much, especially as I got a bit older. So it's like now, as I'm beginning to return back to that, and I have been for quite a while. It's interesting what you mentioned, about a year and a half ago, somebody was doing a bit of channeling for me before I opened up myself. And they said that I'm feeling that one of your names when you were a native Indian was Whispers with Trees. Wow. And I actually have that on my Facebook now because I thought it was really profound. Like it's, you know, to be able to really, I mean, to notice the trees and understand what they have to give. And I've had a few interesting experiences with that. But as you said, and even I think before we started recording, we were talking about, you know, how amazing it is when you go out into nature, it will communicate with you in the most incredible, I mean, I'm still mind blown at the minute. There's things I haven't fully processed because it's so incredible, but it will communicate with us and it will open up and seek to connect with us because every human being, and there is no separation, every human being is a, and obviously each word is different, whether you wish to use creator or God or universe or all that is, or how whatever word fits, that's what we are. And nature recognizes that. And when we give it our attention, it will seek to give us the best of itself. Like it's just beyond imagination. So yeah, it definitely is really amazing.
Yeah, so you probably feel that you're recalling that whispering with trees. Because again, I think for a lot of people who might be even awakening to something like light language, and or they want to, and they sort of say to me, you know, oh, I want to speak this dialect of it, and I'm like, it's in many forms. So, you know, communicating in that sense with the trees and the beings, to me, that is the language of light or the language of our innate being expressing itself, and that's. Yeah. So if you want to share even some of those experiences that you've had, I'd love to hear what you've recently been doing in nature or experiencing in nature.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'd also like to pose a question myself. I was helping a friend to kind of open to channel himself. And I was trying to, he was trying to ask me, well, what does it feel like? I was trying to describe it, and I've always described it as kind of moving out of the way, like stepping slightly backwards. And then I kind of felt this channeling and this is my question to you, of course, like channeling or light language. I'll say for channeling and then I'll ask your opinion. Channeling is like just before you fall asleep. It's like that space there. So it's like you move into meditation, and just before you move into the dream state or the real like lucid state, that's when the vibration kicks in the most, and it's easy to get there. It's not difficult. It really just takes being, you know, letting go and trusting, etc. In fact, I'll ask your opinion next, and I'll tell you a bit about the connection. How do you feel about it? Would you describe that as it's kind of similar, or is that?
I think that we have many different ways that we can access, like a channeled state, because there's different types of channeling, isn't there, as well? Which when we speak about another dialect, sometimes it comes through that we're just, you know, we're speaking in English or the language that we, that's our natural tongue, but yet it feels like it's coming from another place. And I guess that is the ego stepped out of the way. And it's, you know, it's coming from the heart. You know, I always see that our heart is this magnetic field that's just emanating and receiving continually. And it's wherever that direction is coming from and how much we expand that into, you know, a different dimension perhaps of ourself. It's not another dimension that isn't a part of us. It's still within our field, isn't it? It's still in our existence, part of our soul that we've kind of come into resonance with, like you said, And then they're like, oh, hey, I'll share some of my wisdom with you. And it kind of goes both ways, doesn't it? And we're helping each other. Yeah, that's how I see it.
No, that's really interesting. And yeah, I would agree. And I know I mentioned a few days ago, we had an experience. We have a really beautiful inner circle of people who we kind of travel around and go to different sacred sites. And we went to, at the time I'd finished reading a book called The Light in Britain. And for anybody who's interested, I might be able to maybe share with you the author, Grace Cook. And a really beautiful book. And just to, I'll quickly share this before I move on to the actual experience. In that book, it mentions about when people go to sacred sites and they would kind of like channeling through love and light and really opening the space. And from the forest, this bear had come along. So to give a bit more context, the lady, she basically had the ability to kind of astral project to different places and see what it was like. And as she was stood there, this bear had walked past her, but was very aware of her, but then walked past to join all these people. And it was like, as they were doing this ceremony, nature was responding and obviously like coming to the call of the humans, of the people. And so we went to, we went to Dunino Den a few months back. And I, there was Lucas, me, Emily and Danielle. And so we all sat around and we did a little like sort of opening ceremony of singing and opening up the space for peace on earth in the different corners, a bit druidic in that opening. And then I sat there and I moved into the channeling state. So I did my breathing and moved into it. It was very, very strong connection. One of the strongest, I would say. And in this connection, I was obviously kind of, I was half out. So I wasn't aware of what was being said. But they were talking about an egg, and they were saying that the eggshell is this reality, and the, you know, the golden yolk within is our soul. And as we walk through this shell of this reality, which is very beautiful, I mean, I guess, you know, they've just used a metaphor, we're growing, and we're growing to the point where eventually we'll break out of the shell and become, you know, the chicken, the chick. And so we went through about 35 minutes. We have the audio. And we finished, and I was giving my gratitude to the trees and just saying thank you for opening the connection and for being present. And I have never experienced this in my entire life. I turned around, it was just me and Lucas, the girls had gone up to the top of the cliff thing. I turned around and this chicken had flown from the top of this cliff down and landed right in front of me. And I was just stunned into silence. And obviously I was kind of out of it still. This is why we record it, so I can listen back. And Lucas was like, whoa, he's like, do you understand how incredible that is? And at the time I went silent, I didn't know. And he said, they were talking about the egg. And then this chicken had come. And we've got videos and photos. I know I don't have to say that, but it still just excites me that we have that.
and we were walking. Check it out.
Are you getting goosebumps? Yeah. and it kind of wandered off. And then we thought, oh, it's over. We walked up. And they went forward and I still stood there and I kind of, something just made me wait and stand. And the chicken ran up the steps and with pace all of the way up to me. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, it's following us and it followed us all the way. And my friend, Lucas, he went to go get some bread and, you know, a bit of pita bread, I think we'd had, and he was giving it to the chicken. We took a photo and there's like looks like a holy grail. It's obviously, you know, from the sun hitting the lens, but it looks like it's a holy grail in his hands. And basically the point of that whole story was we've had a few experiences where it's nature has truly responded to moving into those states and opening that space, almost like confirmation, you know, the what you channeled, like the egg, like this is it, you know, the chickens come to kind of say, yeah, they were talking through you. And it kind of, it's nice because as you mentioned with the ego, even with me, like I trust, but seeing the chicken was like, whoa, like, I don't even think I can argue with it at this point. So yeah, just really interesting. The connection with nature for all people, not just exclusive to me or for all people, is really growing. So yeah.
Yeah. Our inner perception is being validated by nature and the synchronicities. I think that, you know, we look at, because we were talking about the drama as well behind me and about the birds, and And I feel that they come into our space to really remind us, yeah, that spirit is confirming, is here, is guiding us. I definitely feel that animals play their role in coming into our space just at the right time to remind us of, you know, this is it. It's a little bit more magic than maybe what your everyday is. Here you go. Here's confirmation.
Yeah.
So people aren't feeling that they're hearing something. It's not always a specific alternative voice to your own inner dialogue, but it will be the signs and synchronicities around you.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
You're just in that awareness, and that's where the connection with nature can really amplify the, you know, spiritual experience, your spiritual communication, being a channel, because that's where it's kind of coming from, isn't it? That information is coming from that space. So, yeah, really cool.
Absolutely. And one more thing to share, and I'd also like your opinion on this as well. I think for anybody who's thinking, oh, I'd love to do that myself, you know, kind of feel that connection, this is what I'd share, is that if you want to, and I mean this with love as well, and I hope it comes across as love, try almost getting out of your own way. And I mean that in the sense of, you know, perhaps with conditioning or beliefs, you know, if you think you're not good enough, then it might be a little bit more tricky, not impossible, a little bit more tricky for the connection to open. You know, or especially with nature, you know, so if you try to just understand that your value is infinite, and that, you know, you're loved beyond in imagination, and that you are a truly incredible human being that has the potential to do amazing things, then it can help the connection to flow easier. You know, I sat down with my brother when he wanted to open up, and the first thing we did was we kind of wrote down, okay, here's Callum. And we wrote down all of the things that made him incredible as a human being, you know, and he was thinking of getting a job. And I subtly recommended maybe hold fire, you know, just hold fire, hold off a bit more, because maybe getting the job is through, you know, judgment of others or fear, et cetera, or let's try and see where your real value is and let that unfold. And so if we all do that as humans, it can really help us to, you know, open up to our own truth, you know, not mine, but your own truth. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I was going to ask you actually if you had any more advice for channeling and how you can do it in a really grounded way, because I think there's a perception that we either, you know, really lift off and we just are out of our bodies and we're not connected, and we can become detached, or even pick up other beings. I think people can either be in fear of that or the opposite, and they love it. They love being out of the body and they're not as present. So how can we marry the two and actually, so we're bringing that, you know, spirit into body, we're experiencing our channeling in as a human being as well.
That is a really excellent question. And the one thing I'd actually like to answer that by kind of making suggestions as to how the interactions would be in the beginning. So when I first started to learn to channel, I did it by myself, and I started going into meditation, and I was attempting to go deeper and deeper. And I eventually got to a point where I could start to visualize and really see like certain beings. And so I'd make and I'd always kind of, in the meditation, I'd go to the highest places of just pure crystalline white light. And I said, you know, this is a place of complete purity. There is no darkness here because it's merged. And so when they both merge, in my beliefs and opinion, you know, there is only light at that point. You know, the duality ceases to have a purpose, and we move into the, you know, the truth that we are. And so when I used to go to those places, I'd keep connecting, and some beings would come forward and it just didn't feel right. You know, not that they were particularly negative, but it just didn't kind of resonate. So I said, you know, thank you for your presence, but, you know, no thank you. And I asked them to leave. And I did this a few times until I met one of my guides, who was the first guide who came as in, you know, quite a human form, which was Marcus. And when he arrived, it was just silence. And I just, in my mind, I sat with him, and I didn't ask him to leave. I just sat, and eventually the connection was established, and it felt right. It felt good. And loving, and like that this person was not here to being or person or entity or however they wish to call it. They were there to to help me and to guide me. And so for anybody, you know, and everything from that moment onwards has reflected the same. So, excuse me, even in channeled messages, the messages they bring are not about we are this and we are that. They've always referred to themselves as simply as the light. And they've always said, we are you. And whatever we have within ourselves, you have within you too. There is no separation. So they've always, always gone down the path of, you know, connecting and making, establishing that connection. And very importantly saying, you know, that, you know, whatever we share is only a suggestion. It is not, you know, meant to be absolute truth. It's meant for you to decide for yourself. So it's very, the messages have always been empowering, and they've never been, you have to do this. It's never been about that. So anybody who's looking to connect, that would be my recommendation, is to once and as you will, you know, when you do start to pick up certain vibrations or messages or consciousness, have a look for that, you know, and, you know, go within your heart. And if it feels right, it feels right. But always look for, in this is my always been my recommendation, look for the freeing nature of the communication. If they're always, you know, making sure that you're empowered, if they're trying to be of service, as we may ourselves try to be of service, then I think it's a good connection. But I'd love your thoughts too on what you think.
I resonate with that completely. You know, I think that's a really good insight for anybody that's worried about what they could come across. Because if we are, you know, worried about, you know, oh, what if it's trying to get me to do something? Well, if it does, send it away.
Yeah, literally.
not in resonance of pure love. You know, I set intentions to just, you know, what I'm in communication with is pure love, and pure love is what is emanating through me and the beings that are what I call my cosmic heart collective. So it's like
that's cool.
My family of light is. They're all in that cosmic heart resonance, and that's how I feel secure. If they don't feel that they're in that resonance, then it's just, it doesn't even work. We don't work together. And again, yeah, if anything's fearful, anything feels like or suppressive or like a rush or a demand, I think that's a bit of a no-go. Or they promise you too much, I find that.
Yeah.
They like want to give you this idea that they're going to give you a lot of things and you're going to be a powerful person through whatever they have to offer. I find that can be a bit of a red flag as well.
Yeah, and this is really interesting because something just came to me. Maybe that was them sharing it themselves. Whatever vibration you are seeking to be will also aid in the vibration that you end up bringing forwards. So I think for me, and I hope this doesn't come across as arrogant, I always say that anyway, but I probably shouldn't, but I've always sought to be of service to people, and I've never tried to impose my own grandeur or try to say that I'm this or I'm that, or I have this incredible, it's never been about that, because I've always, it's all from, like I mentioned, from, you know, the mirror, the minute that I said to myself, well, if I can do it, then everybody can, and that's never left me. You know, whatever I can do is inherent in all people, all human beings. So it's kind of like, I guess, because of that vibration, I was able to then channel beings or people or entities who were of the same nature. You know, they wanted to, again, obviously be of service. And so the vibrations were completely compatible. If somebody is perhaps still in, and ego's okay, you know, there's nothing wrong with ego. Like, it's a part of the human experience. If somebody's still quite searching for that validation, and therefore, which, not that we're not searching for validation, you know, like the chicken, you know, that was great news for me. I was like, okay, that's awesome. So that, you know, it helped me to kind of know what path I'm on. But if somebody's seeking for validation that says, I look at me, I'm this, in a very perhaps arrogant and, you know, authoritative sense. I can't even use that word. Maybe people kind of are getting where I'm coming from, you know, from a I'm above other people kind of energy. Then maybe you'll start channeling beings that are of that energy, which kind of makes sense if you think about it. You know, so if people kind of focus on maybe changing their energy to, okay, I understand that I am, you know, infinite and I'm a pure emanation of love and that, you know, I have the ability to do anything. Well, I don't need any validation for that now. That's just pure truth. And then from that point onwards, you can perhaps be of service to others to reach the same. So just maybe some thoughts that might have resonated with people.
No, that's awesome. I love that. That really resonates with me too. It's like sometimes we focus on like wanting to connect with beings and like I just want to connect with like very high dimensional beings, like just bring them in, you know. And it's like actually, yeah, just connecting into the vibrational resonance of, you know, a really beautiful frequency like love and joy and gratitude, being of service and really helping and humanity, of course, it's gonna completely shift your mindset, and the connections that will come in will be of that. Yeah, beautiful. I feel like I've just repeated what you said, but
no, I love it. Well, that's like, good.
It's kind of going in for me as well when I say it. So
yeah, well, and you know, again, kind of the beauty of that is the vibration of your voice. Someone might have listened to what you just said and then it actually sank in, whereas with me it didn't. Again, the power of the value of all people, and the power that not one sentence or one bit of, in quotes, information or bit of wisdom is exclusive to anybody. You know, just because I've said it doesn't mean it's mine. You know, if it resonates with your heart and soul, it's now become yours as well. And so that's just something to
And that's why we co-create, you know, and have these
conversations. Absolutely.
Because it helps to magnify that. And again, it's another form of synchronicity. This is really bringing, that's how I see it, is it's all the dots, you know, every conversation has these synchronistic patterns that allow the people who are listening here today going to go, okay, this makes sense to me. I've experienced this. And all these people are experiencing that. Okay, what I'm experiencing is truth. It is my reality. I'm allowed to accept it. I'm allowed to experience it. It's okay to have communication with, tree spirits and spirits that are guardians of the land or cosmic beings that are from different dimensions from far away. You know, it's still it's all within us, and it's okay.
Absolutely.
It's really been, a beautiful sharing of that, I must say. So I wanted to ask you a little bit more about your actual current offering and how you're doing, because I think people probably really want to know.
No, absolutely. So obviously we've only been really cultivating this idea for the past couple of weeks just over, and we're almost ready to kind of meet and have some conversations with some individuals who might be able to help, you know, really get us started. But we came up with the idea of Gaian Earth. And the idea of Gaian Earth is that every human being on this planet is worthy of nature, you know, and nature is worthy of them, you know, and there is this, in some cases, a forgotten knowing of the real power and beauty of nature. So we're seeking to bring that back to people. So Gaian Earth is our umbrella, and it incorporates permaculture, regenerative farming, forest gardening and forest food creation. And so we're seeking to bring this idea of permaculture and our Gaian systems to everybody on the planet. Basically, you know, obviously that was quite a monumentous task, but you know, if we set that as our idea, we'll probably get at least around quite a few people. And so the idea is that people, whether they have a garden or a plot of land or a home or even a community space, you know, again, like it's, there will be nobody on this planet who won't be able to have this with our intentions. And so we create these beautiful gardens that work with each other. You know, so, you know, a certain tree will have a certain shrub underneath it or a plant or herb, and everything works synchronistically with each other, you know, and we use nature's intelligence instead of agricultural farming, which is destructive by its nature, you know, with poisonous chemicals and scarring the land and just constantly trying to till and open the land. And it's sad, really, when you really think about it. But permaculture brings the perfect system of nature back to people. So that means you have an infinite abundance of food, water, fuel, you know, through if you had pine trees and pine cones and pine needles, you can burn them for fuel, you can heat your home. We use the patterns of nature through aquaculture and using, you know, the tracking of the sun and putting certain things in certain places to really utilize basically everything that's already been given to human beings. And so we create these systems that are not just giving people everything they need in a physical sense, but also spiritual, you know, and on a consciousness sense, so that people can really feel that that it's a space of love where, and it's theirs, you know. And it's really, it's been influenced and kind of birthed very strongly by the Anastasia books. I'll actually show, I don't know if you'll be showing the, I'm waiting on number one to come, but it's basically these as well.
Yeah, I wanted to source them. I couldn't find out where
them. It's interesting, yeah, because for some reason, I have no idea why, but they stopped doing a print run of some of them. Some of them are still, you can get them on a site, but mostly it's, you know, getting lucky on eBay, I guess. But basically, these books really, really talk about reconnecting to nature and how nature is, well, it's the garden, it's paradise. You know, once we all have our little bit of paradise, not just with ourselves and our families, but when communities and globally, that's when we start to be able to create worlds, you know, and the truth of our consciousness expands and opens. And I mean, I don't think I can comprehend that yet, how powerful it will really be. But yeah, it's, and that's, we're hoping to get the ball started, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of people still doing it, but, you know, we're really looking to open the doorway and help more people do it, so.
Yeah, the more we allow that space, it helps to bring everybody's consciousness into focus of nature and how important it is to reconnect. And when we are, you know, living in houses that are, you know, square houses, concrete drives, maybe even gardens, maybe we don't even have that, we might have a flat, to have somewhere that you can go and really reconnect to nature, and that the land is actually in reverence to that. It's not just like about having a park that sort of, you know, it's about the honoring and the sacredness, which I'm really getting across from you. And I think that's really what we want to awaken, in that remembrance of how sacred and how we can live and treat the land in a sacred way. And I suppose that goes back to Druid practices as well. It's like,
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that Anastasia mentions in the book, which is just really, really incredible, is she talks about how nature responds to people all the way down to let's just say you were to plant an apple tree or different vegetables. She talks about putting the seeds under your tongue for about 2 minutes so that your DNA and your essence has been infused into the seed. Then when you plant it, and they've actually scientifically proven this now, which is, I mean, not that anybody, well, I guess some people will need that kind of evidence, but when they plant it, when it grows, the vegetables not only grow to your own taste palette, but it also grows to hold the nutrients and the minerals that your body needs to complete its perfect balance and its perfect nature. So a tomato that tastes one way for one person will be different from the person who grew it, because it's grown for that specific person. So it really is about, you know, reconnecting people with everything nature can give. And when we kind of, you know, really dive into it and understand it, it is the Garden of Eden. Like, and this is the thing that, like, it literally is. Like, it's paradise by its absolute definition, because you never need anything. You don't have to buy anything from a supermarket. You don't have to go and get water that's been, you know, fluorinated or et cetera, et cetera. It's all pure. And it's all perfect for us. So yeah, that's kind of like where we're at the minute. And it's exciting. We're excited.
Yeah, birthing something really new and really for the new earth, you know. It's like,
literally, yeah.
We're creating it here. We're the ones doing it through ourselves and through our actions and expression. And that's, it's beyond profound what we can achieve and do. And I've just been on that journey, similar, I was just speaking to you, wasn't I? about this juicing of, you know, how we want to really clear our systems out of the stuff that's already there as well. You know, it's we've been built up to it for years. And I feel that energetically speaking, like, you know, we want to come back to that organic nature within ourselves, and we kind of need to reboot and re-clear even what's going on within. If we do that, then we can start to change as well what's happening out there, and especially with that, what's happening to the land. I did meet a guy, and I don't know his name, it was very brief, but there is people now that are able to refertilize. They've got methods now to help to refertilize the land that has been destroyed. So I don't know if that's something you're...
Absolutely. And you know, this is the this is the question that's come up a lot, just on that specific note. When nature's left to do what it does naturally, the soil is rich beyond imagination. You know, if you plant trees, the leaves of the trees will fall, they'll mulch into the ground, and all of the nutrient, there's never anything wasted. You know, people might think, oh, you know, the leaves are dying and stuff, but it's actually what it's doing is it's giving all the nutrients back into the soil, back to the mycelium, back to the trees around, and then going, you know, it's a constant cycle. It's kind of interesting. I don't know if you'll show the video, but like, for example, if we see this tree here, when it, you know, as the nutrients goes up through the roots, you know, goes up back to the leaves and then back down to the roots, and it's this constant cycle of nourishing itself. And you can plant different, you know, vegetables and herbs and different plants that when you do, if you do decide to, you know, cut them down and mulch them, when you do plant them around the trees, it'll again give them an abundance of nutrients. So it's, we can restore a land, and to a large degree, it's kind of really what we're looking to do now. You know, where there has been, you know, large fields that have been constantly ravaged by years of agricultural farming, if we're able to potentially, and hopefully it is in the cards soon, take bits of these plots of land, and, you know, might take a little while, of course, with the damage that has been done, but eventually you can restore it, and nature will reclaim what we've abused. Well, and do you know what? Actually, no, that's wrong, because we haven't done that, right? It's certain individuals that have done that. And I'm going to clock myself there, because this is really important, because I thought about this, even when it comes to nature and kind of even recycling. Well, if you think about it, it isn't really us that are in control of the waste. Maybe people might disagree with that, but, you know, certain factories and businesses and companies that are making these, like, if a lot of us were in control, we'd have changed it long ago. So kind of like to take the responsibility, no, to take the guilt and potential shame off of people, well, had we have been left to really connect with the land, we wouldn't have been doing these things. So it's like kind of returning back to try and, you know, show people a better way. I don't know if that resonates with you, but yeah, I just wanted to say that too.
Yeah, I think it's us reclaiming our ability to do what we feel is right for the land, and
yeah, exactly,
communities that support that, and gathering together. I always speak about ants, Bugs Life, I used to watch Bugs Life when I was a kid, so if anyone doesn't know what I mean, just go and watch the film.
Love that movie.
Yeah. I'm sure it ingrained into my system, into my psyche. But yes, we are the ants, we just need to gather together, and the more ants, it might be smaller than the grasshoppers, but the more that we gather, the more that we actually have the power to make the change.
And this is actually really profound, and I really appreciate you sharing that, because that's another reason why we've gone down this venture. Because if every, you know, as every person builds their own, you know, Gaian system or their own garden, they don't need any, I'll keep this very PG, but they don't need any governments or systems of control. You know, they have their own food, their own water, their own medicine, their own space of love. They don't have to work, because you have everything in your garden, and you will have such an abundance of food that you'll probably have to give some to your neighbor or trade it with people, because there's so much. And that's how, you know, productive these systems can be, because everything working in unison, it grows in immense abundance. So what's the need to work then? There is no need. And so as we use nature in its perfect system, everybody can begin to not just return, but advance, because it's not just about, you know, returning to the old ways where we have nothing that we have now. Maybe there's a way to integrate the things we have now, you know, perhaps technology and certain things, but it's about, excuse me, returning to the purity of everything and then moving forward into the future and creating paradise, you know, truly paradise on earth. So,
amazing. So with that, do you feel that you have like maybe a transmission or an offering of some kind to help people to really feel the delivery of that in their soul, and that understanding on a soul level?
Yeah, if it's okay. Yeah. And what else, and I'll use, and I'll say it with this, and I'll say this from my heart. Mm-hmm. Each human on this planet, regardless of circumstance, regardless of past or history, has the ability to take part in the perfect system that was always designed by us. Nature, the land, being connected to the perfect, pristine idea that it is. And so no matter what you believe about yourself, no matter how you feel about yourself or your life or where you are, know that it's always possible. It isn't exclusive to anybody and nobody has the rights to it, and you can have your piece of paradise and you can experience living in complete harmony with yourself, with the people around you, and with the earth too. Never limit yourself.
Thank you. That was amazing. Anybody that just, you know, has been tuning in, you may even just want to re-listen and just listen again and again, because that will just bring in more and more information as you evolve as well and connect to nature. So thank you so much, James. It's been an absolute honor to have you share some of your beautiful stories and your wisdom as well, and the amazing things that you're starting to do for Gaia and be of service in that way. Do you have any other offerings that you would like to share?
Just what I'd like to share is thank you for the opportunity as well. It really means a lot. And, you know, if anybody resonates with myself or even yourself, you know, I'm always on social media. It's just James Mallins. And yeah, that's all I'd like to share. I'm just very grateful for the opportunity, and it's been a pleasure to talk about what we have. So
brilliant. Thank you so much. Yeah, it really has. And yeah, we'll have in the description of this specific video all of Jane Malice's information that you'll be able to find, so you can reach out. I'm sure he'll be happy to ask any questions from this specific podcast, and also any offerings that he has, you can check them out and connect and be a part of it, possibly. Who knows? So thank you everybody, loads of love, sending you all the blessings, and we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.